Yes, this is a mysterious white box. Well, anybody who's been using spelling checkers knows how much memory a spelling checker can take up if you have it in RAM. And by the time you get to write your document, there's very little RAM left, right, unless you have a very powerful computer. Well, this is the first time that a spelling checker has been put in a box that's separate from your computer. What you do, this is from Xerox. It's hardware spelling checker. And it's from Xerox. It's called PC Typewrite. And what you do is you plug this into the keyboard port in back of your computer, and then you plug your detachable keyboard into the box. And then what'll happen is, as you're typing, if it sees you type a misspelling, it'll beep so that you can stop at that word and make a correction. It's certainly the first one of this kind that I've ever seen. It's got a 100,000 word vocabulary.
Did you misspell something there?
Yeah, I think so. And it's also, you can customize it to add about 1,200 new words to
you
it.
You know what it sells for, Wendy?
Right now it's $199.95. This just came out in November Comdex, so it's probably reaching the stores very slowly at this point, but $200 approximately, which is about what you'd pay for a good spelling checker anyway.
Welcome to another furious, fanatic, frantic episode of Slurpcast.
What's Slurpcast, Wes?
It's a show where every once in a while, Mark Bernay, myself, Bobble Rob, Steve-O, random guests.
Steve-O, is he the one from TV?
No, he's not from Jackass, but I can see how you might think that. Because even if you listened to the show that we did last time with Steve-O, you would think that maybe he's as crazy as Steve-O.
Did I tell you I once petted Steve-O's cat?
No.
No, it wasn't Steve-O's. Who's the other one? The main guy in Jackass?
I don't know.
It wasn't
Steve-O, you're right.
It was the other guy.
Okay.
But Al Bernay had a friend who lived across the street from the other guy.
Okay.
And we were standing on her porch one day, and this cat walked over, and I was petting it. And she said it belonged to that guy that I can't think of his name.
Okay. Because so you pet so-and-so's...
So I petted so-and-so's, yes.
Nice. That's a fantastic thing to do. We have a guest today. Well, let me finish the intro. So this is a show where Mark and I and our guests get together and we talk about tech. We talk about interesting things that have happened in the past week or month or however long it took us to do a new show. And we also
do shows every week, Wes, don't we? Every week. We've been doing it for how many years? Every week, reliably,
Mark.
And never missed a show?
No, because I think there was a pause for almost a year.
Okay.
Anyway, we talk about tech, and we try to relate some of those items like that are happening in the current time, fads, what have you. We relate those to older technologies that are the same that happened in the past.
Right. If we can. We try to do that, yeah.
Yeah. So on today's show, we have a guest. What is our guest's nickname? We don't normally give our real names because
I'll just give myself the name that everybody gave me from back in the day, and that was T-Dawg. That's T-D-A-W-G.
Nice. All right, so we got T-Dawg in the house.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds like the name of a thug, though, doesn't it?
It's the best I could come up with in 2 minutes.
Right. It does sound a little thuggish, doesn't it?
I know.
T-Dawg. Yeah. Okay.
Look how low his pants are. His pants are going down to his knees almost. Yep, definitely thug.
Right. Well, this is Slurpcast.
Okay.
What interesting articles have you found, Mark? What's happened in the past week in tech?
Well, I've installed this thing in my house. Mark Bernay has a house. That's a clue to who I am. I don't live in an apartment. I live in a house.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
But I saw this thing called Chai Energy.
Yeah.
And I forget the URL, chaipower.com. Anyway,
okay.
Go to slurpcast.com and we'll have show notes to give the URL.
Okay.
So I forget right now. Anyway, what it is, it's kind of a beta testing right now. I think you can sign up for it, but it's not really official yet.
Okay.
Where they interface with your electric power company and they get your bill from your power company and do a lot of analysis of it.
Okay.
Help you out in different ways.
Okay.
But then if you have a smart meter and you're in the right electric company, it can read from the meter. They'll sell you a hub for $50 that can read from your meter wirelessly.
Okay.
And it'll give you real-time information about how much power you're using.
What if you don't have a modern meter?
They may help you get one, though. If they're available in your neighborhood, you just don't happen to have one yet.
Uh-huh.
Or if you have a smart meter that's not the right type,
uh-huh,
they'll contact the electrical company for you and try to get you switched over to the right one.
Cool.
They claim they have success doing that. But my house happens to have the right one because it just did work right away. So anyway, so they have an app where I can see my electric usage in real time, or like 5 or 10 seconds behind real time.
Huh, awesome.
And then it also has a way to build a profile of the electricity users in your house. As you tell which device you want to profile,
uh-huh,
then it'll tell you to turn that device on, then wait several seconds and turn it off. And it'll try to figure out what that device looked like so it can spot it later.
Weird.
And then over a period of time, it'll tell you how much each of those devices has contributed to your electric bill.
And okay. That's pretty cool. Like that.
Yeah. So, it's all totally free except $50 to buy that hub.
So the advantage of that is you can find out like what devices you're spending more electricity on.
Try to save money by don't use those so much or whatever.
Huh.
But you probably already know because just you kind of know what the higher wattage users are.
Okay.
That'd be nice to know.
Interesting. Yeah.
So their motto is your refrigerator running? Find out using our software because we can tell you whether it's on and when it's on.
So you also mentioned to me, though, when you found this thing to be fantastic, that there might be a chance that I would have a hard time getting a hold of one. Are they still in business? Are they still running?
No, absolutely.
Okay, so they are running.
How much longer they be? I don't know because I have no idea how they make money.
Okay.
People will start charging eventually.
Yeah, there was some reservation about whether I should get it or if
I did. No, in your case, it reads your smart meter wirelessly. It uses a protocol called Zigbee,
right,
which is one of the wireless protocols for remote control devices.
But I live in a place where multiple units or multiple houses have a smart meter all centrally located.
That's
together.
Probably okay. I think you can understand which one's yours and which one's other people's.
Okay.
I think that would be okay, but you have to be close enough to it to read wirelessly where the meter is. Yours sounds like is too far away though from your.
It's not located in my building or my house.
Yeah, then for you.
It's not located in the house. Yeah.
But is it right down a hallway or really?
There's a special place where units in the same neighborhood or the same area.
Special place.
Right.
Do you go to the special place to meditate? Do you go to the special place to meditate sometimes?
Yeah. When I am tired and tense and I've had a long, hard week, I tend to go to my special place.
And all the RF energy coming from all the meters just really stimulate you in your special place. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but you have to be close enough to your meter to get a good reading wirelessly from it. So.
Okay. Huh. All right.
So it probably wouldn't work for you then.
That's funny. So we know where T-Dog's special place is.
Right.
It's with his cats.
He doesn't even have a cat.
That's funny. He doesn't even have a cat.
Right.
Well, then what was that? Anyway.
I don't know. Okay. Mm. You're right.
So let's talk stories.
Okay.
Let's see what interesting things have occurred. I have only like two major stories, or two interesting stories, but I'll let you start.
Okay. There's an article about a surgeon was doing a type of heart surgery he never did before.
Okay.
So he practiced using Google Cardboard and a 3D app that let him simulate the surgery or something.
That's kind of dangerous.
I know, yeah.
And then he did
something more. I think he can get something more professional than Google Cardboard, but anyway.
Huh.
For those of you who don't know, Google Cardboard is a standard for making a 3D viewer where you put your phone into this whole, it kind of turns your phone into a ViewMaster kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where the software will put a split screen on your phone, and then each lens of the Google Cardboard device, which is actually made out of cardboard.
Yep.
Or plastic, anyway.
Well, didn't they do something, some partnership with ViewMaster?
Maybe they have a,
so the
Viewmaster looks like a Viewmaster.
Yeah, the Viewmaster, actually you put your phone in and it lets you do 3D stuff as
the
well.
The Google Cardboard is literally made out of cardboard, but the same idea.
Right.
And then, so you can run different virtual reality software on it. Nowhere near as good quality as the stuff that's coming out, but at least you can play around with it.
So does it simulate, like, if you accidentally kill your patient? Does it go through all the different moves where the heart is like explodes and starts bleeding to death or what? I mean,
probably not.
That would be awesome though.
Yeah.
So with that, I've heard that with the Google's VR stuff,
right,
like what you're talking about, Google Cardboard, versus the Oculus that's out that you can buy now.
But that's the Samsung one?
Yes.
You can't, the actual Oculus Rift is not out yet.
Right.
They have a thing just like Google Cardboard that only Samsung phones will fit into.
But it is considered an Oculus device, the one from Samsung. And there is software you can buy to download on your phone that will run specifically with the Oculus from Samsung. And works
with the same hardware as the Google Cardboard, I think. It looks like you put your phone inside of it.
Yeah, it's the same kind of idea, but the Oculus software will not run with Google Cardboard, and I don't think...
But just deliberately to deliver it to Samsung only,
yes,
I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Which is kind of frustrating because you're spending, like, I don't know how much the Samsung Oculus costs. It's all like over $200 for the hardware.
No, it's only $100.
Really?
Mainly $100, because all it is a piece of a plastic with two lenses to put your phone in.
Right. But there's a battery.
Is your phone Samsung?
Yes. I have the 6 Edge, so that
would
work.
You could probably use it, yeah.
Yeah. So
I think it's only $100.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
That would be cool if it's only $100.
But the actual Oculus Rift, the real thing, will be... coming out next year, maybe will be far more sophisticated.
And it will probably be physically connected to a PC desktop or a Mac.
Yeah, it needs to be so far.
There's some kind of argument.
And it's only like $2,000 or something.
Okay. There's some kind of, you can't move a whole lot because you're tethered
your
to a PC.
Around, that's the whole point.
Yeah, but you're tied to your computer. Right. And so they're trying to figure out a way to remove that cable. The problem is so much data flows through the cable to the Oculus that to give you a good experience that you probably don't have that bandwidth in wireless.
You should be able to.
You think so? I don't know.
Use multiple frequencies or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But I know right now they are talking about that. And cell phones don't have enough power, so they are talking about main power.
Yeah, the games are limited for the Samsung Oculus. Yeah.
And to whatever extent you played with this stuff, do you really care about turning around looking behind you? I found just playing around with cardboard, I didn't even care about that. I just kind of looked left and right a little bit.
If you're playing like a first-person shooter game where things are happening behind you and it's
you
important for you to know,
look,
there may be, you may not necessarily need to do that, but it is it is nice to be able to turn around and see what's going on behind you. So I could see how that would be useful.
Would you really want to bother turning your head, or wouldn't you rather just push a button and have it flip around? It just seems like a big bother to physically have to turn around.
I don't know. I would, I mean, there's also a benefit physically that you get from actually like having to move your body around, right? Physically. Right? You're going to get exercise.
Right.
Yeah.
And apparently everyone's going to get car sick from them anyway.
Okay.
There's still some software problems they need to solve.
Yeah.
Because they don't really work with human eyes that well.
Okay.
And people tend to get sick from them and stuff. Huh.
But, cool. So I have a story that doesn't totally tie into that, but it is about something that's become a hot topic, which is artificial intelligence. There have been a lot of discussions about, Skynet and who, is Google going to build the Skynet system that's going to end up becoming so smart that it decides that humans are puny and need to be destroyed.
Right.
So there's all these discussions going on right now, like Kurzweil and Elon Musk are having these talks about forming a set of foundational rules that go in that all artificial intelligence software needs to follow in order not to become chaotic and destroy humans.
What's going to force them to do that, though?
Nothing, including it's all based on like what Isaac Asimov's original.
But his idea was that those are built into the positronic brain and couldn't be bypassed. So, but the way we're doing it, it's just all software that anyone could bypass if they wanted to.
Right.
So how's that really going to work?
And I read an article about
you have to have the goddamn government make rules.
You could have
evil intent. You have to have personal will.
Right.
So it's very possible that they could become very advanced functionally, but yet not have any personal will or drive to do anything evil.
Uh-huh.
No, but
they're just basically worker bees.
No, but if you program them to always keep people alive, do the best thing for people.
Yeah.
He may get enough intelligence to realize that in order to keep people alive, they have to, for example, go into your homes, take your guns away, and take all your military away.
Or if they're becoming dangerously overly populated, they might decide to kill off a certain percentage of them to save the rest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why you have to be careful how you program them with this. Well, just have the government monitor them. Don't you trust it?
Sure. Although, an argument could be made that ARPANET came from the government.
Right.
And that was something that caused us to get where we are today with the internet.
Right.
And so that was, in one sense, a really good investment that the government made. But, of course, the reason why ARPANET was created was in case of nuclear war, networks could actually, like, still continue to exist even if... You're not going to record that, though. It's okay. It's fine.
I can.
He's opening up... Mark is opening up some cookies.
Mark's about to get his knife out and do it because he's
getting frustrated.
He's in cover.
Fortune cookies? No, they're not fortune cookies.
They're chocolate. They have chocolate on them. I must eat them now.
So let me read a little bit from the article that I got this from. The conversation we just had was based on an article I found from... Where did I get it from? Gizmodo. Basically, all it was is books about artificial intelligence that you must read, according to Ex Machina's Alex Garland.
Who's he?
It's one of the writers, I guess, of the movie Ex Machina. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was a fairly recent artificial intelligence. And if you haven't, listener, heard or seen this movie, it is a really good film to watch.
Yeah, which one is this one?
Ex Machina.
I think I saw it, but I forgot which
one. Do you remember the robot? I'm showing a picture of the main character.
Yeah, okay.
The woman who ends up plotting against... Right. Oh, I can't say anything.
Right.
Really good science fiction film about artificial intelligence, about a Mark Zuckerberg-like character who basically does some artificial intelligence.
Was he a nice Jewish boy?
I think he... Well, nice is relative.
Right.
But, yeah, he was... was Jewish. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll skip to the most important part of this article. In an interview with Esquire magazine, Garland lists the books and films that influenced his acclaimed film. Okay. And there are some surprises on there, like not only two Ray Kurzweil books, but also Machine Language for Beginners by Richard Mansfield and The Emperor's New Mind by Roger Penrose. Okay. So... We'll put this up in the show notes. I've marked this article for you guys to take a listen to.
That's probably a long time ago, isn't it? The Penrose one.
Yeah, these are not necessarily these are not necessarily new books, but the writer of Ex Machina said basically here's a list of what if you're interested in artificial intelligence, these are my recommendations.
Okay.
And those are going to be in this article on www.slurpcast.com.
Sounds good.
Well, then there's also the artificial intelligent female robots that people someday will hope to date. Well,
you should see this movie if you're interested in artificial intelligent female robots. Oh, that's what this centers around. T-Dog! With the sound effects. Anyway. So, I don't know. What's your thought on the future of artificial intelligence, Mark? What do you think?
Well, the thing is that Elon Musk and who else are starting their own company for open source artificial intelligence.
Okay.
To try to protect the world against these out of control things that might happen.
Yeah, I touched a little bit on Elon's concern about artificial intelligence as well, but I don't know the details of it.
Yeah, okay.
People don't think that the Isaac Asimov's rules are going to actually be legitimate things that that would actually work even if they were put in play.
There's no way to enforce them really with the computers that we know about now anyway. Yeah. How about every computer needs to be licensed by the goddamn government and the government will make sure that they follow these rules or something?
Okay. So going back to my idea earlier though, one other way that I think that we're actually connecting computers to our bodies is people haven't really been thinking about this, is the health tracking devices that we are all using.
And you have a new one you might mention?
Yeah, I have the Microsoft Band 2.
That's not Android and it's not Apple.
It's supposedly...
Why would you waste your time?
Windows 10, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got like 11 sensors. It's got like the most sensors of any of the smartware or Fit devices that you can buy.
Yeah, but one Apple sensor is worth more than those 11, isn't it?
Really?
A fine quality designed by Johnny Ive.
Maybe.
Hello, I'm Johnny Ive.
And the mic sensors are so accurate that they don't need 10 sensors.
So it's interesting to think that that's how we're going to, you know, people talk about, oh, let me use the Matrix as an example. I need to learn how to fly a helicopter, so download the actual program into my brain. Okay. Well, in a way, this is what health trackers are kind of doing, bridging the gap between computers and our bodies.
Probably by measuring, they're not...
Correct,
They're not ordering you. They're not stimulating your muscles or really making you do anything.
Right. But there are experiments along those lines of basically computers stimulating muscles in the brain to cause sight, people who are impaired, vision impaired, to be able to see.
The brain doesn't have muscles, what?
Okay, sensors, nerve endings. I don't know what they are. Okay.
Well, I thought it was interesting that I was reading something on people are trying to map out the neural network of a mouse.
Right.
Because they have a simpler brain than humans, but yet they're kind of similar to humans in a lot of ways.
Right.
So they wanted to start with something simple, and they've even tried to back engineer. Before mice, they were working with worms because worms are very simple.
Right.
And I thought that was
pretty
interesting. That's a good start because that's actually taking it a step beyond artificial intelligence, because that would really be true intelligence, biological backwards engineering.
During the Russian and I used to go to the homebrew computer club meetings way back then.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in there, I think, named
Steve
Li Chin Wang, I think.
Okay.
Who wrote Tiny Basic. He wrote some language for a lot of different processors.
Okay.
I think Tiny Basic is the one.
What was his name?
Li Chin Wang.
Okay.
I think. That's my memory.
Okay.
I don't trust old memories, but something like that.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
So Jerry and I were talking about building a compiler for a rat brain.
Okay.
We just said it's just a joke. So we, by total coincidence, walked by him, and we were saying to each other, you know, someone should build a Tiny Basic for the... And Li Chin Wang looks up. What are we about to say? He might give him a good idea to do this, because he's the one who actually did this stuff. And he said, rat brain. And he looked at us disgusted and then went back to whatever he was doing.
He was disgusted? Really? That's hilarious.
And he just went back to whatever he was doing and ignored us from that.
Oh, wow.
What would Donald Trump say about that?
Donald Trump would say...
If he could actually do that, that would be huge.
that would be
fabulous.
That would be huge.
He doesn't say huge anymore. He says fabulous now.
Fabulous.
China.
Anyway. Watch the video I posted today. It's actually on Facebook. I'll put it in the show notes, but I posted a video where someone analyzes Trump's method of speaking. And
well, Trump would go ahead and have to have anything that had self-learning or artificial intelligence would have to have a masculine alpha chip installed, which basically allows it to overrule anything and anyone on a whim. Basically, it's the Trump chip.
Can you test it by having it build a wall, see if it can do it?
And he goes, bullshit! It just gets frustrated at you after a while.
Right.
Okay, robot, you're not supposed to do this. Bullshit!
Who are you to tell me what to do?
Who are you? Right. I own Trump Towers. I own this many. I'm worth this many billions of dollars.
I went to the Wharton School of Business.
The Wharton School of Business. Right. Wasn't that a Dr. Seuss character?
No, it's real.
Who hears a Wharton?
Oh, who hears a...
I don't know.
Wharton.
Wharton hears a...
Hears a who or something, yeah. Right.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay. I probably brought that up before. Do you have any more stories?
Yeah.
So...
No, that's what you did.
Actually, it would be kind of interesting to back engineer Trump's brain just to figure out what would make a man with billions of dollars have a hairdo like what he's picked.
Right.
It looks dead on like he's wearing a toupee.
He's not wearing a toupee. It's his hair.
Right.
He can pull it up.
He can pull on it and stuff. Well, maybe he got it implanted that way.
Okay. So my next article is what we can expect at CES 2016.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been following it enough. But
I would like to go. I haven't gone to CES.
Well, register earlier in the year.
Okay.
If you register about September, you can go for free.
Free.
Yeah.
Okay. When is it normally?
Well, the CES itself is coming up right now.
Okay.
Because Robert Scoble and other people are going to it.
Okay.
And you can go. You can show up there at the last second.
Okay.
But you have to pay like $50 or something.
Okay. No, what I mean is to go during the whole thing, like stay down there for a week and see the whole, all the different, different shows and walk thoroughly.
Well, the hotels rip you off.
I bet
hotels raise their price a lot around that.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. I bet though that it's it gets really, I bet like there's so many different exhibits going on that I bet it like takes so many days it to takes, actually see the whole thing.
It takes 2 or 3 days really. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because not most of it's in one building, but they have other parts in other buildings, so it could take a while. Yeah.
Okay. So the article I have is from Gawker, and it basically kind of outlines some of the things that we can expect in the CES 2016. Okay. Lots and lots of car stuff. A lot of, again, artificial intelligence, navigational things for
virtual reality,
for cars. Okay. Let's see here. CES is a time for auto and tech companies to show off their latest collaborations, whether that's infotainment systems, guidance systems, or simply a smart car's onboard chipset.
If Apple makes one of those, why would anyone care about anything else?
Because they don't have one in the car yet. They don't have a car.
Apple has a car.
Yeah. No, do they?
It's an interface that the car companies build in, but yeah, Apple
right.
has a protocol.
But that doesn't exist yet in any car, does it?
I think so.
Really?
I'm not sure.
Maybe. I know that you had that this was something that was being introduced. Okay.
And Microsoft has one too, I think is actually in cars.
But that's been out for a while. Yeah. I think Ford even used Microsoft's technology a long time ago.
Yeah.
Companies like Faraday Future are so eager to show off all the cool stuff that they're bringing to Vegas that they've even put together a little close crop auto porn to whet our appetite. That's on this article that I'll post. Another thing is TVs, a lot of TVs. We got the 4K stuff that continues on to 2016. Smart TVs, OLED TVs, more of those.
That's been out for a while, yeah.
Yeah, all this is not necessarily brand new stuff.
The other thing, remember, CES has things that may never come out or might come out a year later.
Or when they look interesting, but then when they come out, they're completely different.
Right.
So we can expect to see odd things there. A lot of virtual reality, according to this article.
Right.
Companies have been pretty tight-lipped so far about what they're actually going to be showing. It's probably going to be a safe bet that Oculus will have its consumer unit show floor ready for CES, with Sony planning a long evening press conference. Yeah. PlayStation VR might be ready too. HTC's Vive will also definitely be making an appearance. Yeah. Samsung's already teased an upcoming controller for Gear VR. So a lot of VR stuff. Hover, whatever. There's another. They're talking about.
CES would have the hoverboards.
Yes.
CES is not computers only. It's consumer electronics. So.
Yeah. So
certainly have that kind of stuff.
Segway announced a hoverboard with a seat hybrid about a week ago.
Okay.
Something that you kind of put between your knees, I guess.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So we're going to see a lot of those sort of hover whatevers.
Okay.
And then, like you were talking about. In every sort of expo that you go to, there's always the Chinese companies that have really odd, strange products that are kind of in the corner of the exposition.
Yeah, they give them cheap rents. There's a foreign section where they have small booths with pretty cheap rents. So there's a whole bunch of weird companies.
Yeah, but you can...
Most of them are just sellers of chips and different things, but... There's some unique stuff there. Yeah,
yeah, that was the interesting thing about some of the flea market stuff that you and I went to when I was younger.
Right.
Is that you go to those like odd areas where they're selling really weird crap, and there's some
from China.
Yeah, there's usually some interesting stuff there.
Right.
So, I'll be excited about that.
Yeah, those little Chinese booths are all they're all totally dead.
Uh-huh.
So if you actually stop at one of them, they all get all excited. Like they're usually family run,
right.
And the whole family will swarm you. And oh
That's
my
awesome.
God, someone's here!
That's awesome.
They'll start showing you everything.
Oh my gosh, you have one of the Microsoft watches.
Yeah. Well, that was the only Microsoft booth that would do that.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was funny.
Yeah.
And everybody forgets that those watches were made by some impressive brands like Fossil.
Right.
Those, what were they called? The Data watches?
Sunto.
But that's just the brand. What was the name of the technology? Spot watches.
Watch, right.
Remember that?
Right.
And even, even what's the youthful company that makes, watches now, and they claim ignorance. Like nobody, they don't admit that they ever had a spot watch, but they did.
Oh, a Swatch?
Swatch. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Swatch.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it for my stories.
Yeah.
Swatch. We've already talked about Spot.
Yeah, there's cheap computers coming out.
Okay.
Raspberry Pi has a $5 full blown computer called the Zero. And another company, where was it?
The Zero? I heard about this. I heard about. Have you heard anything about the Windows 10 version of Raspberry Pi?
But it's not the full blown Windows 10.
No,
so
It's not. It wouldn't fit.
The device version.
But I was able to successfully run X Windows on a Raspberry Pi using an HDMI cable out to a normal monitor.
Oh, cool.
And it was a dumbed down version of like Linux and X Windows, but okay. It had a pretty powerful. Well, Raspberry Pi comes with a pretty powerful Python installation, and you can write some scripts and stuff. Anyway.
Then, there's a company called Pine has a computer called A64 that's $15.
Okay.
But it's a 64-bit computer.
Ooh.
So
with all this very inexpensive computing, it's possible that people will start to use computers that they never really even imagined using them for before now because they were too expensive.
Right.
There's probably millions of ideas that people just wouldn't even fathom because it was never something that was a possibility before.
Yeah, it's certainly true.
You know, like even all the way down to having computers built into light fixtures to make them more efficient or to know when to come on.
Right.
You could have walls that monitor room temperature.
Yeah.
Right. Any number of things.
But now we're having simple consumer devices learn about Mark's behavior when he turns on his lights and he turns off his lights.
Yeah.
Learn about my behavior when I get up in the morning. What time I get up in the morning? What my heart rate's doing. In order to better improve ourselves and give us better direction and stuff. So,
and to feed more data to the NSA.
You know what I thought would be interesting is if you had an alarm clock that did a brain scan, and if you fell back asleep, it would wake you back up again.
They kind of do. They kind of have things like that now.
Yeah.
They're not by brain scan. They're just by motion. They can feel you moving around in bed. They can kind of tell whether you're asleep or whether
maybe your breathing pattern would work.
The Band 2 has this auto alarm. So you set the alarm for when you want to wake up. But rather than wake you up at that exact time, it waits until you're at a point in your sleep that's most optimal to wake you up. So it could be within a half-hour window, either half-hour before the time you want to wake up or half-hour after the time you want to wake up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so they're suggesting that there's a certain point where you'll move within a half-hour window to adjust yourself. And that brings you out of your sleep slightly, and then then you go back into it once you've adjusted. Okay. And so what they're trying to do, and they say they do this with the band too, is that when you're doing that movement, they can wake you up because that's the most optimal. Because your body naturally wakes up to move yourself around, and that's when they'll set off the alarm.
So they want to try to avoid the REM sleep section of sleep and then wake you up after that.
You are already at a better place to be awoken.
Or how about if your cat's about to wake you up? He'll wake you up first so he can take credit for it?
Right.
Because in my case, it's my cat that wakes me up.
Well, that's because your cat is self-learning.
Right.
I'm kidding. It's artificial intelligence. Your cat is Skynet.
See, my cat doesn't even... I don't even know why she does it. Because she'll run across my bed to wake me up, but then she'll jump off the bed. She won't even be there.
Okay.
If I wake up, I won't pet her or anything. She's not even, so I'm not sure what the point is.
My cat,
I kind of know she's doing it.
My cat wants to get up and snuggle for about 5 minutes and then get down.
Okay.
And I don't know what the goal is there.
Right.
But, yeah.
Do you get fed? Probably?
I wish I still had that sound effect ready.
Yeah.
Hold a meow. Yeah.
Meow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. My dog is much quieter.
Yeah.
My dog never wakes me up. It's just the cat who does.
I thought your dog did, though, at one point when you first got.
Well, only if she goes out in the backyard and starts barking and waking all the neighbors up. But, we're not letting her outside anymore at night.
Do you have animals?
No, I mean, I like animals, but I'm just not home enough, so it'd be kind of cruel to have an animal just sit there at the house.
That's good. Yeah. That's wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get two cats, they'll entertain themselves.
Well, I just when I visit my dad, my brother has his dog over there, and I usually pay more attention to the dog than my brother does. Really? You know, so.
Cool.
The dog loves me, too.
Aw.
The dog loves anybody.
Aw. Yeah, that's funny.
Then when I get home, my dog sniffs me all over.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a Siamese cat that loves everybody and is not afraid of people and likes dogs.
Right.
So anyway, we have a cat.
Well, speaking of dogs, we have this technology right now, these smartphones where you can basically track your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they should have some kind of a collar that the dog can wear to where if they get lost, if they leave the house, you could just pick up your phone and know what street they're on and then drive over and get them.
Yeah, I have one of those.
You have
they do exist,
yeah.
Oh,
there
I never
knew
that.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, the one I... What's the name of it?
You've had several, though.
The one I have now is real GPS and cell phone.
Well, I know that dogs have chips that they have inside of them.
No, but
I have
one that actually is GPS. It's a cell phone with GPS in it.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I bought one for my dad. It's a keychain, and it actually runs on like T-Mobile or Sprint, the cell service, but it's also a GPS. You have to keep it charged constantly because it's got an internal battery, but it literally lets you go to a website and find out where in the world on the planet that the keychain is. It's a small device. It's actually not tiny. It's like about that big.
Mine's probably about that big, but it's built into a dog collar.
Okay.
It's too big. For my dog, it's too big.
Uh-huh.
So I have it on a harness. But
They mostly come with like monthly service fees. So you have to like pay the service provider for keeping it active.
Yeah. Do
you have to do that with the dog collar?
Yeah, I get the first year free because I have a preview version of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not really similar to
it's called Whistle. Go to whistle.com.
Okay.
It's similar to that service you can get for your car, I think, where they always know where your car is.
Right.
Yeah.
Except this one, the Whistle doesn't want you to use a lot of data. They have a fixed price per month, but it's very low, like $7 or $10.
Really? Okay.
And I get the first year free. But because it's so cheap, they don't want you to do data very often.
Okay.
It only checks the dog's location like every half hour or something, unless you... But it'll check. You can make a check when you want to.
Okay.
And it'll then, you tell it to check, about 2 minutes later, it'll give you a reading.
Okay. So you can manually say, give me information?
Yeah, give me a reading right now, yeah.
Huh, that's cool. Interesting.
Yeah, the device is like $75. And
so it's not bad.
Just that's a little bit too big right now, but it'll get better.
Yeah.
So, have any other ideas I can tell you already exist?
That... You can I'm starting to feel like the professor on Gilligan's Island when he got rescued, because everything I'm mentioning has already been thought of.
Oh, funny.
That's funny.
Well, you know, honestly, I kind of figured they probably had something like that, but I just had never seen it. You know,
right?
But it does make sense.
They're obscure. They're not common.
Right.
You kind of have to shop around for them, and they're not cheap either. So,
well, you know, one idea that I came up with.
Still, it's not cheap. I mean, cheap in terms of something that could be used by consumers would be like $30.
It should be small enough to actually hang on a collar.
Yeah,
but since it has to be a real GPS and a real cell phone,
right? For data, unfortunately,
it can't be that small, unless you
could have like a sticker that works with your cell phone. So as long as there's a cell phone around, the sticker, you know, would be able to pick up. Like,
well, those do exist.
The problem with those is that if you're tethered to your phone via Bluetooth, then you are limited by the radius of like 11 feet or something like that.
Even a little bit further, but not that much. Yeah,
okay. I thought of an invention, but I guess at one point somebody else already thought of it. But I've thought of different variations.
Mark does that too,
and that's that. You know, all these babies are dying in cars.
Uh-huh. Right.
I thought it would be a neat idea is if you lock your car and the engine's off and everybody's out of their seat and there's something buckled into the child's seat, it'll sound an alarm.
I know, yeah.
Or if the temperature's too hot in the car and it's buckled, then the car will automatically unlock and the windows will roll down.
Right.
Just something like that.
Right. There are services like that in cars that you can press a button and get a real person.
Babies die sometimes because the parents forget the baby's in the back seat.
And they end up burning up.
Because the goddamn government makes them keep the baby in the back seat when they'd probably rather have it in the front seat.
Didn't they? Yeah, that's right, because there were experiments done on parents who traveled with their babies with a seatbelt in the front seat, and when they got into an accident, the baby was killed or something. So that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, but babies get killed all the time in the back seat, too.
True, yeah.
Well, it was a progression, you see. First they wanted to have airbags, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then the airbags were killing it was killing children. And a law about having them in a safety seat. Well, then they said, "Okay, well, we need to put the safety seat in the back seat."
Right.
And so then when they started doing that, people were forgetting the kids back there.
Well, didn't they do them backwards at first and they found out that was terribly bad for kids?
Maybe,
like then
the
back seat, the baby seats were like reversed, like so the child was facing the back seat. And then that was determined to be a terrible thing and it killed babies.
Okay.
I would have just imagining, I would think that would be a better way to sit.
Right.
Yeah, there's probably articles we can find, and we're actually having every time we say there's an article that we can find, that means Mark later on has to go look for these articles, which you probably have to look for.
Because I have to do everything.
Yeah, I know, because Mark does everything.
anything.
Right.
But there's an article, I'm sure, that explains why the reverse baby backseat thing is bad.
Well, because of an accident. I mean, the reason you think it would be good is in case of an accident, they won't fly forward through the window.
Right.
The seat will protect them from going forward, you know.
I wonder if it crushes something, though, like the back seat. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, somehow that changed to be a really bad thing. And
I think it's bad for the growth of the baby. If the baby is on the front seat with the parent driving, they can talk to them. And when the baby gets old enough to talk to, you can talk to them, point out things to them. And
right.
It's an educational thing where they're stuck in the back seat. It's just isolated and
true.
Stuff. I don't like that part of it.
Yeah.
Well, also now in this day and age, you know, with both parents working, and sometimes they trade back and forth with the kids.
Yeah.
One or the other may not be in the habit of constantly being aware of the kid or thinking about the kid. One morning, they might be late for work, and for some reason, it just escapes them, and they end up leaving the kid in the car, and the kid ends up dying. You know, it's really a shame.
Huh.
And the parents sometimes get charged with a crime for that.
Right, and anybody can do it.
It's so if they have other kids, and they lose all their other kids, which is bad for the other kids. Taking away from the parents is kind of devastating for the other kids.
Right, exactly.
Goddamn government.
Goddamn government.
Yeah.
Nah. They took my teeth. They took my gallbladder. I can't sleep. Can't use the bathroom anymore.
Right.
It's all because of the goddamn government.
That's right.
Yeah. They see things. They see what you're doing through the TV set. You turn on to...
Of course, nowadays it's true, you know.
What's that?
Nowadays it's probably true, actually.
They drive by in trucks with little antennas aimed towards your window.
England does that to see who has TV sets.
Yeah. That's right. They do that.
Well, they charge a
nowadays,
tax.
Nowadays, all they have to do is read your Facebook.
We know. They know that. Yeah. They know that. They know when you're lying. Right. You're not watching TV, but they know you're watching TV. Because they have trucks.
Speaking of which...
channel you're watching, too.
Really? We sometimes forget how much these phones know, but you know that
it's not what you know; it's what you don't know.
It's what I don't know, but you know, I park my car, and I'll realize after studying my phone, I become aware. I was like, it dawned on me just the other day that this phone not only knows that I parked and but it also knows that I walked away from the car. It knows when I'm walking.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Which I never thought about that, but it makes sense. So if you park your car, it knows you're not in your car anymore.
Right.
Which for the longest time, I thought maybe I could fool it into thinking that maybe I was driving like 1 mile an hour. But it knows the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. These computers are going to take over.
They already have. It's called the goddamn government.
Goddamn government.
It's cool, but it's scary when you find out that it knows more than you had ever imagined that it would know.
Sure.
We have a right, though, to fill up our muskets and go after the government.
That's right.
We do have a right. We have that.
Right.
It's part of our civil rights.
Right.
Yep.
So we can get a couple muskets.
But just wait till Trump's elected.
And overthrow the government.
You won't need to because the government will be great again.
The modern-day equivalent to what it takes to protect ourselves as citizens.
Right. Trump's not going to put up with that shit.
Right.
He's going to make it all better.
That's right.
Make our country great again, huh?
He's gonna form Vol-Tec.
He's gonna
build underground bunkers.
He's gonna marry his daughter and then make us great.
We are going to have a place to run to when the nuclear bombs fall. I'm telling you.
That's right. That's gonna say Trump in great big letters on the entrance to it.
But it'll have all the amenities inside there.
That's right.
We will have.
And he knows how to build amenities. Let me tell you.
He does. I think we have to on our next show have Trump on the show.
Sure.
I've got room for another microphone. Hell, we could do that.
Sure.
Oh,
I've got room for more.
I would pay to listen to that.
Do you know there would be people lined up to try to be on the show or talk to phone in just to ask questions of Trump?
Right.
That would be awesome.
Do we know any?
It'd be like Oprah Winfrey blessing our show, and then we couldn't get rid of people. People would be just like there would be no. The servers would be going down.
Do you know any Trump impersonators they could have?
I don't, but that would be. We could find some.
Yeah, probably.
That would be great. That would be awesome.
Can Steve do that?
Not Trump, no.
Yeah.
He can sound like a bumbling jerk, like Trump, but yeah.
Okay.
I'm kidding. That would be great, even if it was just somebody that sounded similar. I smell a future show.
Right.
All right, so we've hit our time limit.
Okay.
Anything, any last words, T-Dog?
No, I think I've pretty much exhausted all my words.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I have nothing important.
I don't have anything important either. Mm-hmm. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. Mm-hmm. Let's do like rubber characters of Slurpcast. You know, we can crush it. Like if Wes says something that you don't agree with, you just grab the Wes doll and squeeze.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
The show notes are located at www.slurpcast.com.
Right.
Mark does an excellent job.
Oh, thank you.
He took that over a while ago.
Right.
Putting the show notes up.
Right.
T-Dog will be up there. We'll have some stuff from him as well, I think.
Right.
So. All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank
one
you.
One person isn't all in it.
That's right. Thank you to all 13 listeners.
We have this running gag that we only have one listener named Uncle Brucey.
Possible. Bye.